The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
All right, let's roll into the movies. The fanfare says it's time to talk about what's new in the screens around town with the Matt Olean, and we're going to talk about the Florida Project today.
Yeah, currently playing at the Fargo Theater. Please check your listings around the state if you're listening. This is kind of been billed as this year's version of Moonlight. Moonlight was last year's Best Picture winner. Very kind of depressing, dark story about a kid growing up in drug-infested part of Florida. This film also takes place in Florida, and it is about people that live in sort of a ex-motel that now houses kind of transient people, and they can't really establish permanent residence there. They stay there 30 days, go somewhere else, come back the next day. And it's in the shadow of Disney World. So that's always kind of the specter hanging over the film, is that these kids and these transient itinerant people live right near Disney World. And oftentimes, many of them hustle tourists for tips, and they try to sell them, bands to get into the park that have been stolen, things like this. And the story centers around a little girl named Mooney, played by Brooklyn Prince. She's about 6 years old, and her mother, played by Bria Venate, who is almost looks like she's an actress who plays the mom, and she's a sometimes prostitute. She doesn't work. She hustles. She doesn't really look after her kids, or her kid is allowed to run, basically roam around the area, free-range parenting. So the kids are able to kind of have this happy life where they go and explore and things like that without adult supervision, even though they're extremely poor and they basically live in a motel room. The actress, Bria Venate, who plays the mother, it almost looks, Doug, like they found her on a street. I mean, it's such a transformative performance by this actress that you almost think they hauled her out of some meth rehab clinic or something. It's that shocking to watch her appearance and her performance. And then Willem Dafoe plays the manager of the whole area. And he gives a really sensitive, interesting performance, Doug, because he's got to enforce rules, but he also feels badly for a lot of these people. He feels badly for the kids. There's a fantastic scene, which I'll tell folks, where this older guy is kind of prowling around the property and he's talking to the kids, and Dafoe spots him immediately as a possible pedophile. And he goes and he hustles him out of there. And so that's when you find that Dafoe really is looking out for these kids. Somebody's got to look out for these kids, because this guy is there under false pretenses. This is a really, really good film, Doug. It's hard to watch. It's depressing. The trailer suggested a kind of comedic coming-of-age film. That is not what this film is. The film is much different than the previews that you may have seen. It is dark. It's depressing. Yes, there are kind of scenes of happy childhood roamings around and things like that, but it's a grim film, and child welfare is constantly kind of hovering over the situation. Are these kids being taken care of? Do they need to be taken away from their parents or parent? What's going on? It's a fascinating film. Now, the thing that's going to divide critics and audiences is the last 3 minutes of the film. We're not going to reveal it, of course, but the ending is controversial. And I have seen critics say they love the ending. I've seen critics say they hated the ending. I'm sort of in the middle. It's not how I would have ended the film. It kind of comes out of nowhere, like, oh, this is what's going on here. This really wasn't talked about throughout the whole film, and then suddenly this thing is a main character in the final 3 minutes. So you'll have to judge for yourself. It didn't ruin the film for me, but I thought the ending was a little misguided. I would not have ended the film this way.
Does this film have a message?
Yeah, I think the message is that kids can be happy in a lot of different environments, even though they might be better off in the long run with a foster family. And the fact that they're able to roam around and kind of create their own fun, even though Disney World is something they can't go to because of the cost, they kind of create their own fun, like maybe when you and I were kids, Doug, roaming around a small town. But it's also kind of a look into the fringes of life, that in the shadow of Disney World, there can be these people living basically hand to mouth every single day. And some are willing to work and some aren't willing to work. Mooney's mom is not willing to work. She's a very unlikable character in the film, even though Mooney is a likable child who gets into trouble, albeit because there's no discipline, no parenting. So I think that's the message, is that these people do live around us. They're right there, and maybe we shouldn't ignore them, even though, you know, there is something called being responsible for your own actions.
So you've got this symbol of almost perfection.
Opulence, happiness, right.
A Disney World, and then next to it this gritty, real.
Yeah.
There's a poignancy there in that contrast.
And Sean Baker, the director, gets that across to the audience. As I said, I'm fascinated to find out from listeners when they see it what they think of the ending, because I have had people that I consider really serious film goers hate the ending, and some love the ending. I'm kind of in the middle, Doug, leaning toward I would not have ended the film that way. It just doesn't quite work for me, but it's still a fascinating film. I think the Willem Dafoe performance has Oscar legs, especially if he ends up in the supporting category. In fact, Doug, just this week he won the National Board of Review Award for Best Supporting Actor. So already we're seeing Dafoe, a two-time Oscar nominee from the past, getting some early accolades. We'll have to keep track on if the film has legs to be a Best Picture nominee or thing like that.
What about
the cinematography
Bria?
Is fantastic, too.
What about Bria? I've never heard of her before.
I don't think there's Oscar legs for her performance. She's almost an unknown actress. She's had a couple credits on her IMDb page. It's a very interesting performance. You almost aren't sure where the real person ends and then the performance begins. So I don't know enough about her to know if she's going to be pushed for an Oscar performance. I think the lead actress category is going to be really, really tricky to break into if we consider Frances McDormand and Jessica Chastain and Saoirse Ronan and some people like that that I think are locks to be nominated.
Is the young girl like a Tatum O'Neill?
It's younger. Tatum O'Neill was 10 when she did Paper Moon. This child is like 6.
Wow.
And how they get her to – there's an emotional scene she has to – where she has to cry. And, you know, you always wonder what's going on behind the scenes to get her to cry.
Yeah, you can be a little worried about that.
We've heard some horror stories over the years on film sets, specifically Dustin Hoffman and Justin Henry in Kramer versus Kramer, where Hoffman got Henry to cry by telling him something really awful. Supposedly, we hear stories like that. I don't know how Sean Baker got this performance out of her, but she's very good.
All right. Well, The Florida Project sounds like a movie worth looking at.
Yep.
Okay, Matt O'Lean, every week we ask you an Oscar trivia question, and we try to, you know, fool you, stump you. This question this week is, what is the only Best Picture winner without any female roles?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Too easy, huh? It won the 1962
yes,
Best Picture Oscar without having any female speaking roles. Well, we've been to the movies with Matt O'Lean.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.